Midwest. The hottest day will be tomorrow, when afternoon heat indices will peak at 100 to 110 degrees in many areas. A weak frontal boundary moving southeast across Iowa and into the southern Great Lakes will bring isolated scattered showers and thunderstorms to portions of the region through the 4th of July weekend. High temperatures today will range from around 80 degrees across northeastern Wisconsin to the upper 90s across western Missouri. Overnight lows will range from the mid-60s across northeastern Wisconsin to the upper 70s across western Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, sunny with a high of 88. The wind out of the south from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 67 and a south wind at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, hot and humid. The high 92 with heat index readings from 98 to 103. The wind will be out of the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear. It will be warm. The low overnight, 72. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high in the low 90s with heat index readings from 97 to 102. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday night, partly cloudy with another chance of showers and thunderstorms. We'll see a low in the low 70s. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, the low around 70. Independence Day, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the upper 80s. The outlook for Monday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana were generally in the low 80s, most locations reporting sunshine. It was 81 degrees at Chicago and Bloomington, 83 at Rockford, Springfield, and Carbondale. In Indiana at South Bend, 80 degrees, 82 at Lafayette, and in Indianapolis and in Terre Haute, 81. Willard Airport reported 80 degrees at the top of the hour. A little sticky out there, the dew point creeping up. It's at 65. The wind out of the south at 10. The relative humidity 60%. The barometric pressure 30.07 and falling. And the sky sunny. And at 1240, 84 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. One of Latin America's most visible leaders was invisible for much of this month. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez frequently goes on television to accuse the U.S. of plotting against him. But he vanished for a time. He had not been seen in public since June 10th. That's when he underwent surgery in Cuba. Now he has reappeared in videos chatting with Fidel Castro. NPR's Juan Ferrero reports on what the video shows and what they show and do not show about the Venezuelan leader's health.
Chavez walks gingerly, but his message to Castro is vintage Chavez. Socialism or death, we'll be victorious, he tells Castro, a father figure to Chavez. And with soft music from a daytime soap opera playing, the footage shows the two men standing close to each other and reading two Cuban state newspapers, making sure that viewers are aware the papers were from Tuesday. It's a proof-of-life video, Venezuela style, which Venezuelan officials say is designed to end rumors about Chavez's health. Communications Minister Andres Izarra, presenting the video on Venezuelan state television, can hardly contain his joy. Let's see it again, Izarra says. Let's see it again. It's easy to see why officials are so excited. For 18 days, they faced an increasingly anxious political class demanding to know what is happening with Chavez. What they said in public only fueled rumors, as when the foreign minister, Nicolás Maduro, told reporters that Chavez was in a battle.
La batalla por la vida. La batalla por el futuro.
He called it, quote, a battle for life. For many in Venezuela, it's hard to understand why the government is being so secretive.
La ausencia de información está alimentando muchas especulaciones, ¿no?
Carlos Correa, the head of the think tank Public Space, said that had generated more speculation. Correa said it was strange because over his 12 years in power, Chavez has been on television practically every day. Indeed, with cameras rolling, Chavez inaugurates state projects, presides over summits, and visits poor neighborhoods.
Ah, bueno, menos lo del Canal 8. Canal 8, no, ellos sí, ellos...
On his Hello, Mr. President show, he hectors opponents and warns of diabolical American plots against him. Then on June 10th in Cuba, he came down with abdominal pains and was rushed into surgery. 2 days later, on June 12th, Chavez phoned Venezuelan state television to say he was recuperating. That is the last time Venezuelans heard his voice. And that prompted some Venezuelans, among them Demetrio Boesner, a former diplomat, to argue that Chavez's absence should trigger a temporary transfer of power.
According to the constitution and the constitutional tradition of Venezuela, when the president is absent, the vice president should take over almost automatically.
Chavez's aides, though, say there is no need, that the president is running the affairs of state from Cuba. Until now, Chavez's health has never really been in question. The 56-year-old populist may love the rich food of his country and has clearly put on some pounds, but he's also known for his boundless energy. Still, it remains unclear what ailment Chavez has and when he'll make a full recovery. In the videos from Cuba, he doesn't say. Juan Ferrero, NPR News.
Champaign, Urbana, and Danville handle about 6,000 nuisance property cases a year. While most property owners fix problems when they receive notification, those who don't cost the city and taxpayers thousands of dollars in cleanup costs. As part of our series, Life on Route 150, CU Citizen Access reporter Pam Dempsey looks at how the cities in East Central Illinois are working to keep blight out of neighborhoods.
Newspapers litter the empty parking lot on the corner of 3rd and East Green Street. The site once housed Nero's Euro's restaurant. You can tell with the signs that still remain on the building. Champaign Environmental Inspector Leslie Mitchell visited the now vacant site last week, pointing out several problems on the lot. She was there to post a final notice on the door before the city would be forced to pay a contractor to clean up the property.
I noticed the tall grass and weeds growing, as you see on the parkway and back of the building. All up by the lamppost, there's a lot of loose litter, a lot of the free newspaper mailings that have been dumped at the property.
The building is one of about 6,000 nuisance property cases Champaign, Urbana, and Danville see a year. City inspectors, like Mitchell, often look for problems that can be seen from the street or sidewalk, including unsecured vacant properties and inoperable vehicles. These unsightly issues can have a negative impact on neighborhoods. Though most owners will clean up their properties once notified, the small percentage of those who don't cost the city thousands of dollars in abatement cost a year and can rack up hundreds of dollars in additional fines and fees. Urbana Community Development Director Libby Tyler says property owners have a reason to be concerned.
But the more severe issues that we can be concerned about would be a property that gets to be such a nuisance that it can impact a whole neighborhood and can get people worried about safety and property values and really can potentially change their quality of life.
Steve Gilbert has lived in his neat cottage-style house on Washington Street for about 15 years. While most of the properties along Gilbert's block are well-maintained, there are a few that aren't, including a vacant lot two blocks down that has netted 14 liens for overgrown grass and weeds in the past 2 years from the city of Urbana.
That really doesn't do a lot of good for neighbors. I see raccoons, I see groundhogs, I see possums, I see snakes frequently.
Urbana regularly maintains the property. As of June 22nd, the cost to cut the grass, coupled with city fines and fees, now totals over $13,000 in liens. The estimated value of the property is about $11,000. The out-of-town property owner has yet to pay off any of the liens against the property. Jason Arrowsmith is Urbana's environmental compliance officer. He says the money spent on cleaning up properties is not always recovered from the owner.
When they go to a judge or look for a settlement or they do a sheriff's sale or something like that on a property, taxes, banks get paid before we do, and very rarely do the houses sell more than what was on them, you know, what was owed on them.
City officials aim to work with property owners to get the problems resolved before it gets to the lien process. David Oliver is Champaign's code compliance manager. He says fees charged to those who don't comply may not be enough.
But we don't want to be in the lawn maintenance business in the city. You know, we are recovering our cost that we pay the contractor, and we are applying a $100 administrative fee. But if you look at the number of trips to the property, does the $100 actually cover our cost? Probably not.
Local nuisance ordinances give property owners a set amount of time to remedy a situation, anywhere from 7 to 10 days or more. Still, during the course of one housing case, inspectors pay multiple visits to the property to make sure the blight is gone, either through owner compliance or from the city's own abatement efforts. Regardless, city officials continue to use their limited resources to keep blight down. Danville, like Urbana and Champaign, depends on other departments and groups to share information about blight. John Heckler heads Danville's Public Development Department. He says that the few people who willfully neglect their property have a negative impact on those that don't.
So again, as our resources decline, we've had to look for ways to be more, to be just as effective in providing the services to our citizens, and working with other departments, volunteer neighborhood service coordinator, and working with neighborhood associations has had a very positive impact on there.
Champaign has yet to hear from the owners of the former Nero Zero site, despite the notices that Inspector Leslie Mitchell issued. As a result, the city paid a contractor to clean up the problems over the weekend. This is another expense Champaign and other local cities carry to improve their community's quality of life. I'm Pam Dempsey, CU Citizen Access.
For more, including an interactive map of nuisance properties in your neighborhood, or to make a comment about your neighborhood or town, visit willconnect.org or cucitizenaccess.org. Also, at willconnect.org, you can delve into the entire Life on Route 150 series. That's willconnect.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for June the 30th, Thursday, 2011. It was on this day in 1860 at Oxford, a debate took place on the merits of the theory of evolution, meeting of the British Association for the Advancement of Science. Darwin's book on the origin of species had just been published 7 months before, and it was being hotly argued by scientists and theologians. The Bishop of Oxford, Samuel Wilberforce, was arguing one side, and a number of scientists were arguing the other, including Thomas Henry Huxley. The hall was packed.